Hi, this is Jerry Godsey. Welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Remnant, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening. Good to have you here today. We're going to continue looking at the Xmas Files. And somebody asked me this week when they heard about what my series was at church. They said, well, isn't Xmas sacrilegious? No, the X has been a symbol for Christ for years. For years, going back. In fact, if you look at the little fish symbol, it starts with X. Because it stands for Jesus, or Christ. So, we're okay with it. So when they say Xmas on their radio and television, it doesn't bother me. I'm just glad they're recognizing Christianity. Did you read the newspaper this week where they said they had a meeting in England between a Muslim imam, that's what they call him. I'm not making fun of him, and a Jewish rabbi and a Catholic priest and somebody from the Church of England. Anyway, they all got together and they had this press release. And they said, it's silly for people to say happy holidays. It's Christmas. And the Islamic imam said, look, it's Christmas. I understand it's Christmas. It doesn't offend me if somebody says Merry Christmas, or in England, Happy Christmas. So it doesn't offend me. It's their holiday. It's okay. And I thought, that was cool. They haven't done it here yet in America, but we were at Sonic last night, and the kid said, Merry Christmas. And I told Lynette, he obviously doesn't know. He's supposed to be saying happy holidays. You're going to get in trouble from somebody. Oh, don't get me started. If you got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 2. We've been discussing this Xmas Files case, case 1225, which happens to be Christmas if you're not really hip to that. Today we're going to talk about the witness statement of the wise men. We've already talked about what the angels had to say, what Mary had to say, what the shepherds had to say. And today we're going to talk about the wise men. These are not gangsters. That's wise guys. That's a whole different case, actually, and one that we don't necessarily have to get into. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and we're just going to work our way through here. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Now remember that verse, because it's really part of what we're going to talk about today. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. You can also put in there scared, ticked off, freaked out, any one of these things you want to put in there, but he was like really upset by this. All Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go worship him. And I'm sorry, but every time I read this, all I can think of is, and you have to be old like me to remember this. Remember Leave It to Beaver? Remember the friend, Eddie Haskell? How he was always kind of, you know, well, Mrs. Cleaver, you look nice today. And because I always wanted something. And so I always think of that when I read this verse. Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go worship him. And he's like, you're a liar and your breath stinks. But anyway, we'll get to that. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This morning, we're going to talk about seeking, because that's what we do. and two different kind of seekers that we can find in the story. And I'm going to give you a chance to kind of find out where you fit in. Let's pray. God, you're so good to us. You love us so much. Speak to us now for the next few moments, Father, because this is where, I believe, this is where the birth of your Son comes to us. We've got to figure out how we're going to seek this year, Father. God, bless us. We ask it in your name. Amen. Christmas is a time for seeking. When you were a little kid, you sought all over your mom and dad's house trying to find your gifts. Didn't you? I did. Oh, I know. It's not you guys, just me. You're still looking around the house. I'm 40. How old am I? 48 years old. That's the oldest I've ever been. I lose track. Okay? I still look around the house trying to see, I'm trying to pump Lynette. Hey, what'd you get me? I gave you my list. What'd you get me on my list? I still want to know. It's 2 weeks to Christmas. Are we going to have to Christmas? I still want to know. Because in my heart, I'm still 12 years old. We seek good parking places at the mall. Robert saw me at the mall this week. He said, you must have been getting a big gift. I said, nope. If I'm going to the mall this time of year, it's because I'm having lunch with my wife during the week. Otherwise, I stay away from the mall. Because there's a lot of people there, and they're all nuts. I just stay away. It's safer for everyone concerned. We search for the best prices. We'll go over the Christmas tree and the lot, and we try to find the best Christmas tree. We're seeking all over the place. And this actually is a tradition that dates back to the first Christmas, because when the birth of Christ came along, people sought him. The shepherds went to seek him. The angels showed the way. The Magi came to seek him. King Herod went seeking him. So this is nothing new. There are two different kinds of seekers, though. Two different kinds of people. And we want to talk about that. So let's the Magi, these guys were astronomers. They were doing their stargazing thing. They weren't astrologers. That's a different deal. You know, I think it's interesting, by the way, if you think, what sign you were born under? I was born under a sign that said maternity ward. I don't know about you guys. I was right there in that hallway. That's a bad joke. You know, they get all this. You pick up any major metropolitan newspaper and compare three or four of them. And what's funny is the astrologers all will say different things about the same stars, which I think is interesting. Because if they're the one set of stars, how do you read it differently? Because they're making this stuff up as they go along. It's like fortune cookies. If I wrote fortune cookies, it would be like really bad ones. If I wrote fortune cookies, there would be things inside there that said things like, you will die a horrible death in 2 days. Just because I think it'd be funny to follow people around for a couple of days and watch how they freak out. That's me. Art, you've heard that story before, haven't you? That's, you know, so it just kind of amazes me how people will follow all this stuff. But the Magi were astronomers. And hopefully that's the last time today I have to say that. They were looking at the stars and they saw a special star, and God spoke to them and said, this is a special star. This signifies the birth of the Messiah. You better get to town and find out what's going on. So they packed all their Gucci luggage and they put it on the camels or the horses or their Volvo or something, and they took off. Probably not a Volvo. They took off and they went seeking for the king. They went seeking for this baby that they knew was born. They were seeking a king. Unfortunately, who they ran into was the present king, who wasn't ready to give up his job. Now, Herod was quite a guy. In fact, I'm going to give you a little bit of history about Herod, because Herod is the first kind of seeker. He's the 3M seeker. The 3M seeker. Let me tell you a little bit about Herod. When Herod was born, his first message when he was in his cradle was, everything in your life is about power. Everything in Herod's life from the time he was born on was power. He was born into rulership, and he had power and authority, and he flaunted it, and he didn't want to lose it. When King Herod was in his 20s, he saw his father, who was king, get murdered by palace insiders. Now, obviously, that made Herod think, oh, that could happen to me someday. So Herod made sure that everybody close to him knew he had power and he would use it. When he was 25 and took over as king, he invited all the people who had plotted his father's death to a party. They all came to a party at his house, and he had his hitmen systematically kill each and every one of them. One day, King Herod had his wife's grandmother and brother killed because he thought he heard some rumor about him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I came home from work one day and Lynette said, "Hey, honey, how'd your day go?" "Oh, it's good. By the way, had your grandma and your brother killed?" Dinner might be a little frosty that night. I might be sleeping on the couch of course, if I'm the king and I got power, I'm not sleeping on the couch. Imagine that. Herod had three of his own sons killed. He killed one of his sons a week before he died because he thought the guy was too hungry for power, that Herod was going to die in a week and give up anyway. That's the kind of guy this guy was. But if you talk about King Herod as a bloodthirsty, sadistic leader, you also have to point out the fact that he was a pretty good leader at times. He had food drives for the poor, clothing drives for the homeless. He took care of his people because he knew that if he took good care of the people, they wouldn't overthrow him. He wasn't nice in his heart. He was nice because he felt like that was the best way to retain his power. See, you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons, can't you? Herod is a perfect example of that. He also did the wrong things for the wrong reasons, but that's kind of Herod. I want to give you an idea. How many of you have seen It's a Wonderful Life? The Jimmy Stewart movie. Zuzu's paddles! Okay, that's the one. Well, remember Mr. Potter, the old bald-headed guy in the movie, which unfortunately looks a lot like me? How mean and decrepit Potter was and how he manipulated everything around him. And he tries to hire Jimmy Stewart so that Jimmy Stewart will give up the idea of all the things he was going to do and all this other stuff. That was King Herod. He's very manipulative, very mean-spirited. He would try to be nice to you, and if that didn't work, he'd just pound you into sand. That's King Herod. To give an idea of how Herod died, Herod knew he was going to die. He'd been sick for about a year. He knew he was going to die. Unfortunately, he was afraid that nobody would grieve when he was gone. So right before, about a week or two before he died, he had everybody called in all of the rich people's daughters and sons and had a party for him. Now, you got to think, if you're invited to a party at King Herod's house, you're probably not going to go. You've heard how some of these parties go. Not good. So in order to make sure that everybody was crying when he died, he had all these people killed because they would still be crying. That way the parents would still be crying when he was gone. Nice guy. This is Herod. Now you see the backstory of when the Magi come to him, they show up at his palace and say, "Hey, we heard there's a king born. You know where it is?" Herod went, "Oh no, but I'm going to find out. I don't know where he is, but God help him when I found out." That's the backstory of this. That's what we don't always think about. See, he knew that he was king, but he also knew that there was somebody coming greater than him. He was born a Jew and raised a Jew. He had to know what was up. So he was scared. And he started the 3M Corporation, the way I think about it. And their whole mission statement, the 3M Corporation mission statement is power, power, power. I got power, you don't got power, you're toast, I'm good. That's all he cared about was power. So he calls his scribes and his people in, his magicians, all these people, and says, "Okay, guys, show me from God's word where this baby is born." And they told him, "Hey, it's easy, it's in Bethlehem." You know what? Bethlehem wasn't far from them. Yet when you read the biblical account, the biblical scribes, the people that Herod called in, never went looking for the baby. Partly because I think they were probably afraid of what they would find when they got there. They never went looking. There are a lot of people in the world not looking for Christ today because they're afraid of what they'll find when they get there. Afraid of what will happen to them when they're finally faced with the truth of who Jesus Christ really is. I mean, it'll turn me into a geek. I got news for you. If you weren't a geek before you became a Christian, you won't be one afterward. And I got bad news for you. If you were a geek before you came to Christ, you're probably going to be one when you leave. Because thankfully, God doesn't change that in us. You're going to be who you are. You are who you are. God made you that way. In fact, God made you and wants to use you. So if you're here today and you're seeking, but you're kind of quietly seeking for God because you don't really want to see what's coming up, go for it. He's not going to change anything about you that you're scared of. Trust me. Herod calls the Magi in. He says, okay, guys, when? See, his scribes and his people, his learned theologians and stuff, they could tell him where, but he didn't know when. Because his guys were smart, but they weren't smart enough to know when the star came up. So he calls the Magi in. He says, okay, when? When was this kid born? And it basically came down to about a year, year and a half. We got to think about this. It says these guys came from the east. You know, when you see the little nativity scenes, it's got the wise men bowing next to a cradle with baby Jesus. No. Jesus was probably a year and a half, 2 years old by the time the Magi found him. In fact, in a little bit later, remember in the scripture we said when they got to the house where he was living. And there's a reason why Herod had all the children younger than 2 years old killed. So this is a long frame of time here. This is a long period of time. He calls them in. He says, well, I tell you what, you guys go find him. We'll follow you because I want to worship him too. That's not what Herod wanted. Herod wanted to kill the baby. Did his best to try it. He sends the Magi on their way. They go off seeking the baby. And Herod starts the 3M Corporation. He was a 3M seeker. I'm going to give you the first M. It's misusing people. I want you to do a Herod analysis in your heart. Who do you misuse? And I know the Sunday school answer, well, I don't misuse anyone. Pastor Godsey. Okay, I know, it's just me. Just me. Come on, think about it. Who do you see as somebody that you can use to get to the top? Who do you see as somebody who can help you get what you want or help you get something done that maybe you can't get done on your own? And you never thought about it, but really the only reason you have a relationship with them is for what they can give you or get for you. See, it's misusing people. I got people I know that do things for me, but I try and give back to them. Any kind of place where you've got a one-way relationship where you're always taking and never giving, you're probably misusing somebody. Think about it. Who do you use in an improper way? Who do you take from and not give back to? That's what Herod wanted to do with Jesus. He wanted to take the power that he thought Jesus was going to take from him. So he was going to, and he misused the Magi. He didn't want to worship the baby Jesus. He was going to take from them and give to himself. So I want you to really seek your heart, especially during this holiday time. It's a great time for us to really do some introspection. The year is ending, the new year is beginning. Who have you misused this year? Who have you, yeah, I mean, you're not ugly about it, maybe. But maybe there's some people that you're just kind of having a relationship with because of what they can give you or get for you or do for you. And you're not really giving anything back. Is that really the kind of person you want to be? Is that really the kind of person you think God calls you to be? Probably not. The second M is misleading people. What area of your life are you tempted to mislead people? I ask myself that question all the time. Am I misleading somebody here? Am I building myself up? Am I telling a little white lie? We had a guy we spoke to yesterday. Oh, man. He came into our house, and evidently he doesn't have a volume control. Because he was, like, really loud the whole time. Dude, I'm here. The people in the next county heard you. It's okay. Chill out, dude. And he kept telling us how he was in special forces in the Navy. Oh, I was in special forces, and you know, and I was in a place that you can't tell. He's lying. I know guys that were in special forces. They never talk about that stuff. They don't say anything because a lot of them want to forget. They don't talk about that. So anytime we hear somebody boasting about how they were in the special forces, they're lying. What he probably means is he applied to Special Forces once and got bounced out. I was a Navy SEAL. Yeah? Well, for like 30 minutes. And then they said, go home. Come on, we do that. I saw a No Fear t-shirt one time that said, the older I get, the better I was. Come on, now see, you have to be old like me to remember that. Where you start telling stories about when you're, you know, and first liar hasn't got a chance in a storytelling contest. Well, I remember back when I was playing ball, I hit a home run once. Next guy said, well, I hit three home runs in one inning. You know, he just goes on and on from there. You're like, all right, I give up. I can't keep lying up with you because you're better at lying than I am. We do. We mislead people. And maybe it's not even for bad things. Maybe it's when somebody, maybe when your wife says, honey, does this dress make me look fat? And guys, there's no right answer for that question. There really isn't. There's no, because if you say yes, yeah, I mean, you better be wearing protective armor is all I'm saying. You better keep all the sharp knives hidden and make sure there are no guns in the house. You see that commercial where it says, no, honey, it's your hips that make you look fat, not the dress. Like, oh, dude, what's wrong with you? You're going to die. Oh, and somebody will say, honey, does this, I mean, at work, they'll say, well, how does this hat look? It looks like somebody put something stupid on your head. That's how it looks. But you can't say that. So you try to think of nice ways. Well, it's interesting. It's a festive look. If by festive you mean stupid, it's a festive look. We try and find ways to be nice. We try and find ways we mislead people. And you know, those things are minor, but sometimes we mislead people in other ways. We're not real about our affections. We're not real about our ways of feeling about people. And sometimes by misleading people, it's because we don't tell the people we love that we love them. I think that's misleading. There was a Toby Keith song a few years ago about how, I can't really say the words, but you know I love you. Well, if you can't say the words, then you're a wimp. Husbands, you need to tell your wives that you love them. Ladies don't usually have trouble with that. But guys are like, well, you know, it's not manly. It's not manly to be afraid to say three words. And see, ladies, that was your chance to say amen, and you missed it. So if your husband doesn't say you love him, that he loves you this week, it's your own fault. Maybe you're setting somebody up at work. Maybe you know they're about to get themselves in trouble, and you're going to let them go. You're misleading them. And again, is that really the kind of person you want to be? Is that really the kind of person God would have you be? That's Herod behavior. A third M is mistreating people. Maybe you mistreat people. Now, you don't kill them like Herod. Sometimes killing somebody is the nicest thing you could do to them, rather than what we actually do. When we're ugly to people and we say words that they're going to scar them for the rest of their lives. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Sticks and stones heal. Words to our hearts sometimes never go away. Did you read the story about the 13-year-old girl that killed herself about a month ago? Because another rival girl's mom was putting stuff on her MySpace page. And this 13, 14-year-old girl killed herself because of words. Nothing physical was done to her. Words. We can mistreat people in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's overt meanness. Sometimes it's just not saying anything to them at all. Yeah, I work at the sheriff's office, and we have inmates that do the cleanup around the sheriff's office for us. And when I pass the inmates in the hallway, I tell them hi. We have other guys that just like, and they're real gruff to them, or they don't say anything to them. But you know what? I say hi to them. How you doing? Joke with them. And I had a guy tell me one time, you know, don't get too close to those guys. They're inmates. I looked at him and said, yeah, but they're human. They're human. Yeah, they've done something stupid, and that's why they're in our hallway. And some of them are stuck on stupid. They keep doing the same thing over and over again. They keep coming back. I've seen those beds. They're not that comfortable. I don't know what the problem is. I wouldn't go back. I've seen their food. I'm not going back. But they're human. I'm not going to mistreat them just because I can. Let's treat people like humans. Let's treat people the way God treats us. Let's see people as God sees them. See, we got to get away from this 3M thinking. Herod was a 3M man. But there's another kind of seeker, and that's the 3D seeker. 3D. And you know what? I had laser surgery on my eyes a few years ago. And because I'm old, they had to do one eye long and one eye short. Because otherwise I would have to wear glasses, and that was the whole idea. I wanted to get away from glasses. So I go to 3D movies now, and it freaks me out because my eyes can't figure out where to... So I don't go to 3D movies anymore because the effect is really lost on me. It's kind of a bummer. 3D seekers. Let's find out about 3D seekers. In verse 9 it says, after they heard the king, they went on their way. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were seeking God. The Magi were seeking God. They wanted to know where he was. They were truly seeking not power, they were seeking the power. They were looking for the king. And I want you to think about it for a minute. Before you knew Christ, and maybe you're here this morning and you haven't really made a decision for Christ, why are you here today? What brought you here? Was it somebody that influenced you to come today? Was it somebody that was in your path and said, hey, you know what? You ought to come to this church. We got this really weird, bald-headed pastor guy, and he's goofy, but, you know, if you need a chance to sleep, that's a good place to come. Why are you where you are? And maybe you have to think back further. Maybe you have to think back to the person who influenced you to Christ. Who told you about Jesus for the first time? Who said to you, you know what? There's something more to this life than this right here. Let me tell you something. Just like the wise men followed a star to find Jesus, God puts stars in our lives. He puts people in our lives that influence us to Christ, that will lead us to Christ if we'll just follow. He puts people in our lives that show us the way. May have been a teacher. May have been a coach, may have been a pastor. God puts those people in our lives. And let me tell you something. We need to follow that star to find Christ. But more to the point, and if you've been a Christian a while, let me ask you a question. Whose star are you? Who are you influencing to Christ? See, I firmly believe the Christian walk is like a big chain. And I'm walking and I'm holding on to the hand of somebody who's been where I've been before. And I'm holding on to them because they're leading the way for me. But at the same time, I got my other hand out and I'm pulling somebody else along the way because I've been where they're going. And that person's leading someone, and that person's leading someone, and that person's leading someone. And so all this, all our lives, we're following and we're leading. We're following and we're leading because that's what Christianity is. Hey, I'm here. I've been through some stuff. And this is what all my messages are. Let me tell you something. You ever get the feeling that I preach a message because I got it all together and I know everything? You have my permission to come up behind me and kick me in the behind. Because I've always wanted to be the idea that, you know what? I'm a fellow struggler. Man, I wake up in the morning and the angels go on red alert. I get up in the morning and sirens go off in heaven. Whoop, whoop, whoop. The dummy's awake, the dummy's awake. These guys, these angels are putting on riot gear, you know, and they're getting ready. What's he going to do stupid now? And I hope that every time I preach, all I can tell you is what God's doing in me, and hopefully that helps you. What's God doing in you that you can give to someone else? So powerful. That's what Christianity is. You don't have to know all the theology. Well, it says, shut up. With a special Greek word, shut up. You know what Christianity is? I love this. You know what it is? It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Isn't that cool? Man, I was hungry. Here's where I found something to eat. There's more. Come on over. It told the story during the Depression of certain houses that would have a big white mark painted on their driveway, on the curb in front of their house, and nobody knew what it was for a long time. Coming to find out, it was from roving bands of people who would travel from town to town, and if somebody was kind and gave them food, they would mark the curb with a white mark. So the next band of people coming in would know, this is a place where kindness is given. Man, I want to have a white mark on me. Because I'm looking for people with white marks. I'm looking for people that have been the same place I've been in and hurt just like I've hurt. It can give me peace. That's all we have to be about. If you're really looking, God puts these earthbound stars in our lives. These people that will help us. When they saw the child with his mother Mary, these multimillionaires, these power players, these people well-versed in natural sciences, they bowed down on their knees and they worshiped him. See, a 3D seeker. The first D is devotion. They got on their knees. They gave Jesus their devotion. Are you devoted to Christ? And by that, I don't just mean, do you show up at church, you know, once in a while? Because they're two different things. You can sit in church and go to hell. Coming to church, and I said it a few weeks ago, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. Right? Think about it. I've been to McDonald's plenty of times. I'm still not a Big Mac. I'm a big something, but I'm not a Big Mac. You can sit here and have all the Christian accoutrement. You can carry a 25-pound family Bible. You can have a cross made out of railroad spikes around your neck. Doesn't make you a Christian. Devotion to Christ makes you a Christian. Devoting your life to Him. And you know, powerful statement. Some people just seek to seek. Some people want to be Christian because they think it'll help them in their career. I'll go to church because it helped me in my career. Probably not here. This is probably not going to help your career. Except for the fact that if you listen and you allow the stuff that was being taught here to get into your heart, it'll make you a better person, and that's always going to help in your career. Some people, they're intellectuals just to be intellectual. They go from one place to another. The wise men were smart enough to see. They got to the place where Jesus was. They got down on their knees and said, this is where the buck stops. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what my life is all about. And that's what following Christ is, guys. You can't do it halfway. You got to be devoted to it. You can't be a Christian and try to keep one foot in the world. Guy asked me one time, how much sin can I get by with and still go to heaven? That's a dumb question. And the answer to that is none. Now, the good thing is God gives us grace. God is able to forgive us when we do sin, inevitably sin, and we do sin. God gives us grace. Quit trying to think about how close to what the old person you can be and still be a Christian. Just let God make something new out of you. Guarantee it's going to be better. Second D is dedication. They opened their treasures. They presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. The gold represented the kingship of Christ. The incense, the frankincense, symbolized the deity of Christ, how he was God incarnate. And myrrh was an oil used prior to burial. Why would you give myrrh to a little baby? Because it was a foreshadow of what was to come. That little baby was going to die on a cross for us. They were devoted to him. And it didn't just stop there. You can't stop with devotion. As an expression of their devotion, they devoted their lives to him. They followed him. They made sure he was safe. In fact, there are some historians who believe that the gold and frankincense and myrrh that they gave to the Christ child actually helped pay for them to go to Egypt later on. Because that's what they did. Instead of staying in Bethlehem, they escaped away to Egypt. There are some historians who believe that the gold, frankincense, and myrrh were sold and actually financed the trip that kept Jesus safe and kept him away from the massacre and the slaughter because he got away to Egypt. They were devoted. How devoted are you to Christ? The third D is direction. Matthew 2:12 says, "Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." See, true worship always brings with it a change of direction. You really want to worship God this Christmas season? You're going to change direction. Because it's easy for us to get lost. It's easy for us to get kind of off the path. You know how sheep get lost? Even the Bible talks about the 99 sheep and then the one sheep gets lost. You know how sheep get lost? Because they're not real smart. When the Bible compares us to sheep, that's not a compliment. They're not real smart animals. Sheep get lost because they see, you know, because they don't go out on their own. They're kind of like pack animals. They're herd animals. They don't go off on their own because they're not that smart. But they what they do when they eat, they keep their head down and they just follow the patches of grass. So one sheep will follow a patch of grass, and he'll eat that patch of grass for a while. And then he'll see another patch of grass, and he'll go eat that patch of grass. And then he'll go, and he keeps going, and he keeps going, and he keeps going. And then finally, he's like, where is everyone? Hello? You know, and he gets lost. That's how they get lost. We do the same thing in our lives. How we get lost is we live today, and we do today stuff. And then we wake up the next morning, and we do that today stuff. And that today stuff, and that today stuff, and that today stuff. And finally we stop and realize and we say, where is everybody? Where'd God go? God didn't go anywhere. We just kept eating patches of grass till we got lost. If you're going to really follow Christ, you're going to have to follow His direction. And the good thing is, His direction leads you good places. I guarantee you, if you're branching out on your own, you're toast. We got a little nav system on my truck. And we follow it. And what I found out is that it's really important to put the right address into the nav system when you program it, because otherwise you're going to end up far, far away. Because I've done that. We're supposed to go to a place I've been a bunch of times, and I put in the nav system. Well, let's follow the nav system. We went to the wrong... You know where Big Bear is? Well, evidently the nav system doesn't know Big Bear if you don't put Big Bear in, because we went on the other side of the hill. It was a long way away. You know what? A lot of you guys just punched in the wrong coordinates. And you're following your life. You're following that system. You're not going where God wants you to go. And you don't know it, but you're going to end up in the wrong place. And I'm not talking about hell, even. Although that's certainly an option. I'm talking about being in a place where you look around and you say, there's nobody here. There's no joy here. There's no peace here. There's no good things here. It's like being in Oakland. Betty Friedan said, there's no there there. It's like looking around and finding nothing around you. And we've all been there. Have you ever been in that spot where you look around and you think, there's nothing good here. I'm in trouble. There's nothing good here. There's no blessings. There's no joy. There's no goodness here. And when we get to those points, it's usually because we branched out on our own. We've gotten far away from where God wants us to go. And it's too late. But it's not too late. Because even with the nav system, when I finally put in the right city with the address, it took me right where I needed to go. And with God, all you have to do is change direction and follow what He wants you to do. The great thing about God is He allows U-turns. He allows you to change direction when you need to get right back on path. So what about you? Where are you this morning? You following God? You a 3M seeker this morning? misleading, mistreating, misusing? Or are you a 3D seeker? Can you really say that you're letting God be God in your life? In a moment, we're going to pray. And for some of us, it may be the first time we've really honestly prayed for a long time. That's okay. God's been waiting to hear from you. God's been waiting to hear from you. I love the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son, the kid basically says to his dad, "You know, Dad, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. Give me my money." He takes his inheritance and he blows it on everything. And he is feeding pigs one day, and he says, "You know, there's got to be better things to do at my dad's house. I'll go back and tell my dad, I'm not worthy to be your son. Can I just come back and live in the barn or something?" And so he starts coming down the road, and I love the part because it says, while he was far off, his father saw him. Now, the only reason you see somebody from afar off is if you're looking for him. And I've told you before, I firmly believe that the day that kid left, that father sat on his porch with a glass of iced tea, looking down the road and saying, "Is today the day my son comes home?" He said, "Well, maybe tomorrow." When he woke up the next morning, he looked down that road, and all day during his chores and stuff, he would stop and he'd look down the road and say, "Hey, God, is today the day he comes home?" And at night, right before he turned off the light, he said, "Well, maybe tomorrow." And every day that guy woke up and he looked down the road looking for his kid, until finally, one day, he's in the middle of his chores, he stops, he leans on a shovel, he looks down the road, and he sees something. Could be the post office guy. Could be a bill collector. Nah, sure walks like him. Nah, you know, I don't know. He looks pretty familiar. He squints and he breaks off in a run toward his son. See, because that father was more concerned about that kid coming home than that kid was. If it's been a long time since you and God talked, God's been looking every day. When are you coming home? When are you coming home? Today's your day. Today's your day. Because you're here this morning for a reason. There's no circumstances. There's no, "Well, I was lucky." No. You're here because this is where God wants you. You're here because this is a place right now, today, where you're going to have to listen to this bald-headed guy tell you that God wants you desperately. The greatest gift you can give this year at Christmas is you. Devotion. A change of direction. Dedication. Let God do something great in you. Let's pray. Father, thanks. You are so good to us. And I know, Father, that you want so desperately for us to follow you, for us to have our lives changed by you. Not for your good, God, for our good. Because you know that it's going to bless us and make something great out of us. God, speak to us this morning. You know, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and I'm not going to embarrass you. It's not my style. I just want to ask you a question. Where are you today? 3D, 3M. Where are you today? Maybe you and God just need to talk. Maybe you and God just need to reestablish some communication. Maybe you got some things that you're going to have to make right. That's okay. Let it happen. But just in the quietness of the moment, please, please do not leave here without having that conversation with God. It's too important. In fact, if you'll indulge me a moment, I'd like to pray a prayer and just lead you in it. What we're going to do is pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins and make us the person He wants us to be. if you mean this from your heart, you'll be moving in the right direction. Just say this prayer with me, would you? Father, I love you. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for the places where I've been wrong, where I've misused or misdirected or just been flat out mean, where I've been stubborn. God, forgive me. I want to worship you. I want to follow you. I want my life to have meaning. God, thanks. Thanks. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Make me a follower of you. If you prayed that prayer this morning or a version of it in your own heart, you're on your way. And that's the important thing. Love to chat with you afterward if you got questions or maybe you're not sure what your next step is. Look up Jeremiah or myself. We'd love to chat with you. Christmas is a time for good things to happen. And this is the best one of all.